Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Love and Relationships Podcast, a hotline style show where people call in with questions about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage, and mental and emotional health. I'm Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid, unscripted conversations where I answer your questions in short, bite-sized, practical answers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor, relationship expert, and author of 6 books. I also run the popular relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it by voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or submit it on my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. So we're doing something a little different over the next few weeks called the Ask a Counselor series. As you know, I recently started the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, a team of Christian counselors who are offering one-on-one online sessions to meet with you and help you work through any personal or relationship issue you might be facing. It's an amazing team of counselors that I get the privilege of leading, and I wanted you to get to know them the way that I've been getting to know them. I've asked the counselors on my team to come and join me on the podcast over the next few weeks to help me answer your questions for this Ask the Counselor series, and I can't wait for you to get to know them. To book a session with one of our counselors, go to DeborahFalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing today. Today's question comes from Peter from Orlando. Hey, Deborah and counselors. I've been hearing a lot about the concept of imposter syndrome. I struggle with a lot of insecurities, and I wonder if imposter syndrome is something I need to address. What is imposter syndrome, and how do you manage it when those feelings come up? Today on the podcast, I'm so excited to have Leslie with me, joining me to tag team this question about imposter syndrome. But before we get into that, I just want to introduce you guys to Leslie. Leslie, it's so good to have you.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. My name is Leslie Moreno. I'm a licensed creative arts therapist.
So tell us a little bit about what you do for the Counselors Network. Like, what's your wheelhouse? What are some of your specialties? What are some of the types of clients you love to work with?
Yeah, sure. So I love to work with singles. I love to work with people that are dealing with anxiety symptoms, depression, people that are interested in healing their inner child.
Yeah.
I love doing that type of work, trauma work. Because my background it's in arts therapy, I'm also open to working with clients and including artistic mediums. I love working with creatives. People identify themselves as creatives, as we can also incorporate that into our sessions. Like, yeah. How is creativity part of their life?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you kind of resonate with the creatives out there. So Leslie, one other thing I wanted to mention about you that I think is a really fun fact is that you're also bilingual, so you can offer sessions in English and Spanish, which I think is really awesome for those of you out there who are listening who are Spanish speakers. Leslie can offer sessions in either English or Spanish, so I think that's awesome. Okay, so let's dive in to imposter syndrome. I hear this word all the time. Now, it's funny when counseling lingo starts to become common language. Like, there's words like gaslighting and narcissists and, you know, borderline and all these words that are in the counseling world, but they're kind of starting to seep into our culture for good and for not so good. For good, because people are starting to recognize these things more. for not so good, because oftentimes they're used inappropriately. And oftentimes we label people with labels that we probably shouldn't label them, or diagnose people, or, you know, throw out these things, these labels, these titles that aren't necessarily fair to the situation. So I do think it's important to be educated, but we have to be careful about how we use some of this language. So today I want to talk about imposter syndrome, because that's something I'm hearing a lot. And clearly our caller today is hearing that word a lot too. Like, I keep hearing about imposter syndrome. What is it? And how do I know if I have it? So let's start with that, Leslie. How would you define imposter syndrome?
So imposter syndrome is an interesting term. It's not an official mental health diagnosis, but several symptoms can come up. So it's when someone struggles with feeling insecure or like a fraud for gaining attention or any accolades for their accomplishments. So when someone experiences imposter syndrome, they can believe they're undeserving, they're inadequate, and can feel overwhelmed by self-doubt.
Yeah. So it's a lot of insecurities. It's feeling like you are the imposter, like, how did I get here? I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve these things. If people only knew who I really was, they wouldn't really like me. And just this underlying feeling that you don't belong or you don't deserve, or if people only knew. So where do you think that develops? Like, from your experience, where have you seen the roots of that begin in people's lives?
So I think it has different causes and roots, but what I've seen a lot working with clients all sorts of ages, it can oftentimes come from family dynamics, like what has been spoken to them, societal expectations, things like people see on TV, and then they're placing these expectations on them, on themselves. But a lot of the times, most of the times I hear it's insecurities people grow up with, like adults growing up with insecurities from their childhood, and they never really tackled them. For example, like one of the biggest parts of imposter syndrome is that the person can feel inadequate, right? So when I counsel someone coming up with this, it's I like to explore where does the sense of inadequacy come from? Like, where can we go back to a time when it first started arising?
Yeah.
Because I think if we get to the root of it, right, we could definitely tackle the rest of the symptoms of them.
Yeah, I agree. And it's different for everybody. But, you know, the enemy kind of comes into our lives at some of the most vulnerable places and begins to plant lies, begins to plant these seeds of inadequacy that oftentimes we carry throughout the rest of our lives. And I would say that imposter syndrome is deeply rooted in insecurities and inadequacies. Like, those are two big things that come up, of just feeling like, I'm not enough. I am not who people think I am. I shouldn't be here. I don't deserve to be here. And oftentimes those things are rooted in hurts and wounds from our past. But imposter syndrome in and of itself is a sign that there's deeper work to be done. Like, if you're feeling insecure and inadequate in the present, it's a sign that there's a pain point in the past that needs to be addressed, that you're living out of some hurt, some brokenness, some wound that is impacting your life here and now. So how does imposter syndrome tend to affect people in the present? Like, what's the worst case scenario if you have it? Like, what are some ways it can play out and begin to negatively impact your life?
It shows up in different aspects of life. So, for example, in terms of like work, people can feel like they don't deserve being in a certain position if they've given a raise, if they're being awarded. They can feel like they don't deserve it, or they can feel like fraud. So people feel they're unworthy of their success. So people have difficulties accepting, embracing compliments and praise. When it comes to relationships, I think it can also sabotage relationships, because we can feel inadequate to be loved by someone else, whether it's a family member, friendship, romantically, or even, I think, even in church culture, I think it can also penetrate where we can be given a leadership position, or someone can see leadership traits in us. And if we're experiencing symptoms of inadequacy or untrained, we can sabotage that opportunity. So I think it can also come up as anxiety, symptoms of anxiety, the physical symptoms, or sometimes even symptoms of depression, feeling unworthy, feeling hopeless, helpless.
Yeah. And I agree with you what you talked about self-sabotage. Like when you're feeling insecure and inadequate, you begin to act in that way. Like you live up to what you believe you deserve, or you live down to what you believe you deserve. So if you don't believe you deserve good things, if you don't believe you're worthy, if you don't believe you're adequate, you're going to live down to that standard in your job, in your relationships, in your family. And to be honest with you, even in addictions, oftentimes we see addicts who are trying to break free from an addiction, but deep down, they don't actually believe that they're worthy of freedom. So they self-sabotage and jump right back into the addiction because they are most comfortable in that feeling of inadequacy and shame. And so this is why it's so important for us to address this, because we can actually start to live a lifestyle of self-sabotage where we start to live down to the level that we believe we deserve, and it begins to harm every aspect of our life. So if somebody's struggling with this and they're like, man, that's me, I've got all these insecurities, they're coming up in my relationships, they're starting to destroy my relationships, like I'm acting in a way that I don't want to act. I'm ruining my relationships. I'm ruining things at work. How can we begin to shift our beliefs? How can we begin to acknowledge some of those faulty beliefs and begin the process of healing?
So how do we begin to heal? I think it's important that we ask ourselves several questions to get to the root of it, right? Questions can lead us to a place of self-awareness. So some questions are, are you fearful of being discovered as a fraud? Do you feel guilt or shame about your accomplishments? Where do these insecurities, self-doubt come from? And the one I love the most is, are we being counseled by the truth or the subtle lies of the enemy? Right. Yes. Earlier you said that the enemy can counsel us, that we can start living and believing and living out the lies,
right,
that the enemy throws at us.
One way I word that often is, am I living out of my trauma, or am I living out, yes, of God's truth?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that's so powerful, right? When we can explore that and uncover that for ourselves. So some tips for overcoming it includes practicing setting realistic goals, right? So what are some goals that are realistic for ourselves? Because we can fall into a downfall of setting unrealistic goals. I know I do that myself.
Yeah.
I can place unrealistic goals and then have to go back. Like,
nah, which then reinforces the inadequacy. It's like, I know I can't accomplish 100 out of 100 in this, but I'm going to set that goal. And when I fail, it just reminds me that I'm a failure, that I'm an imposter, that I'm not good enough. So setting realistic goals, having healthy expectations of yourself so that you can actually rise up rather than rise down. I think that's a really great step, practical step.
I love that. Recognizing our expertise.
Okay.
Recognizing what our skills, our abilities, our assets.
So, right? So looking into our strengths and what we do well, and then like focusing in on those more, right?
Yes. Yeah. A question I've been meditating on recently has been, connecting favor and imposter syndrome. Like, how are people that God grants us favor, how imposter syndrome leading people to self-sabotage favor, right? Because favor, God can give us anything, whatever he wants. Like, here, I love you. I'm going to, here's this opportunity. Yet our insecurities and inadequacies can place us, if we live out of them, can lead us to self-sabotage.
I love that. So the opposite of the imposter syndrome is believing and receiving God's favor.
Yes.
And you can't believe and receive in God's favor if you are self-sabotaging with the imposter syndrome, because every time something good comes your way, you're going to push it away rather than receive it because you don't believe you deserve it. So I like that idea. I think it is really transformational to reframe and start to believe for God's favor over our life. I really like the dichotomy that you presented there.
Yeah. Yeah. And embracing that, embracing God's love and how it shows up through his favor.
That actually reminds me, I really believe that people who struggle with imposter syndrome the most are people who are struggling to love themselves and receive God's love over them. Because when you can begin to receive God's love over you and receive good things from him and begin to love yourself and see yourself for who God made you to be, it opens up your ability to receive from others as well.
Yes.
Whereas when you have a hard time receiving from God because you don't believe like you deserve it, it can inhibit your ability to receive from others as well. There's a verse that I go back to in scripture a lot, Leslie, when I talk to people about the concept of self-care and just learning to like yourself, learning to believe in yourself, learning to believe that in the God-given value that is over your life. I go back to the verse that says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I know that for some, when we look at the context of that verse, I think the context is that some people are really good at loving themselves, right? So do a better job loving your neighbor. But I also think we can apply this verse to the people who aren't good at loving themselves, the people who struggle with shame and inadequacy. Because when you are not able to love yourself, you're also not going to be able to love others well. Loving others in a way is contingent on our ability to love ourselves. Love Yes. your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to do a very good job of loving your neighbor because you're living out of a place of inadequacy and emptiness rather than a place of abundance and favor. And I think that's a really important thing for us to grasp here. Like, could this be a struggle with my inability to receive love? And where could that have began? Where did the roots of that inability to receive love begin in my life? Are there pain points? Are there wounds here that God is revealing that he wants for me to heal? So good. Do you have any other practical suggestions for how we overcome the imposter syndrome?
Yeah. Not relying exclusively on external validation. So being able to validate ourselves internally.
Yeah.
Being able, and I think a lot of that comes down to loving ourselves, right? How is our self-talk, right? Are we complimenting ourselves in something that we did that we're proud of? Or are we solely relying on someone else to see that?
Can we right? encourage and validate ourselves? Where does God's word come into the equation of us encouraging ourselves?
I think it comes in relying on scripture, on our identity comes from what God says and not on our performance, right? God already gave us our identity and walking in that and through that. Right. Connecting with God. Right. A spiritual discipline, spending time with God and definitely internalizing that more and more rather than relying on performance based. Relying our identity on how well we performed or, what we do for others.
Right. Yeah. It's so important for us to have a secure identity in who we are. And not necessarily in what we do, because what we do changes each day, but who we are is eternal. And I think oftentimes that's really hard for us to receive because we've spent so much of our life getting validation, seeking validation from the things that we do and the things that we mean to others, rather than living for an audience of one. But for some people, the roots of that run much deeper. Mm-hmm. And so I think at the end of the day, imposter syndrome is a sign that there's more healing work to be done, right?
Yes.
Imposter syndrome reveals pain points, specifically in the area of inadequacy and insecurity that are starting to sabotage our life and our relationships. And they're evidence that God is not done working and that there's more healing that he wants to pour out over our life. So if you're struggling with insecurities or inadequacies, I'm going to have Leslie leave you a word of encouragement in a minute, but I just want to encourage you to connect with one of the counselors on our team and maybe realize that some of these insecurities and inadequacies are coming from a place of pain in your life. But God wants you to live out of a place of power. And sometimes we have to go back and deal with some of these things in order for us to be free from these insecurities that are plaguing us. If you want to book a session with one of our counselors, go to DeborahFaleta.com/counseling. If you want to book a session with Leslie and begin working through some of these issues, you can find her schedule at DeborahFaleta.com/Leslie, L-E-S-L-Y. And begin the journey of healing today. Leslie, could you just leave us with one final word of encouragement for anybody who's kind of struggling or navigating this issue today?
Yes, I want to encourage anyone struggling with this issue to do the inner work. Seek the abundant life God wants you to live. Don't give the enemy any more room in your life to kill, steal, destroy the relationships, and you know, opportunities he's giving you to steward.
Yeah.
So definitely do that inner work and steward what God has given you well.
Yeah, begin the healing journey. Like Leslie said, the enemy has already taken things from your past and robbing you of things from your present. Don't let him steal your future as well. Begin to do the healing work. The truth is, none of us are adequate or worthy standing alone, but because of Jesus at work and alive in us, we can believe for more, and you will live up to the level that you believe you deserve in Jesus' name. So we're praying that over each one of you as you battle insecurities, as you battle inadequacy, that this would be your year of healing. Thank you so much, Leslie, for joining us for this important conversation.
Thank you.
People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Faleta Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at DeborahFaleta.com/counseling. And get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you love what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay?, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about those as well as hundreds of articles and courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com or deborahfaleta.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Faleta and tell me your story. If you have a question for me, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships and we'll try to get it answered on the show. I'm Deborah Faleta, and it was so great being together today, and I can't wait to be with you again next week. See you later.